Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times, all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. You can find this podcast on Instagram at flipthescript.pod. I hope you'll join us on the after show on patreon.com, and all of this information, of course, will always be in the show notes for you. I'm very excited about this week's guest. It's been a long time since we published the last episode, so I'm so excited to get this episode out to you guys. I interviewed Justin Elliott of Elliott's Estate Sales. This was such a fun and fascinating conversation with Justin, who owns and operates a dynamic and diverse reselling business that predominantly focuses on estate sales. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. Hi, Justin. Thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Yes, ma'am. So glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here. Justin and I were just talking before we began recording, and he was starting to go in depth about his story. And I was like, we have to start recording because I'm going to want to start asking you questions here. But I'm so excited to have you here. You run such a diverse reselling business, and I feel like you have so much to share with everybody who's listening. So I'm going to jump right into it, Justin.
Yes, ma'am.
First question for you is, how and when did you first start reselling?
Let's start from the beginning. I started reselling as a young boy. I was heavily influenced into the industry with my mamaw and my papaw. As a young boy, I would go out and buy things with my papaw, and I would go to antique malls with my grandma. And my grandma was more personal property antiques, grandfather clocks. And in this generation, I'm 34, so this would have been the early 80s and 90s. And so antiques would be very popular. You know, people would buy things, have dinner parties. So you'd want to have really nice, extravagant furniture for your guests. Well, my papa was more buying in bulk, buying stuff to sell on eBay. And my grandma was reselling an antique booth and an antique mall that they owned. And that was in Norman, Oklahoma. And so anyhow, that's kind of how I got started. It was influenced by them.
That's awesome. So you started with your grandparents. So when did it start to, you know, really bleed into your life and become this business that you saw becoming profitable?
I didn't really pay attention, I guess, to the success of the business. I knew that they were making good money, and I was just a kid. So for me, it was all about the hunt. And finding stuff that Mamaw and Papaw might like. And when Mamaw and Papaw get excited because Mamaw and Papaw can put bread and, food on the table off of something their grandchild found, that made me really excited. And so I got really good at finding specific things that I knew that they would like. And I don't know, I guess I would kind of say when, you know, you're eating on a table that was purchased the weekend before and then someone else is buying it on Monday, and you just don't have the space to take, you know, pictures of it properly, and you're eating on it. That's kind of when you start to realize it's bled into your life. And that was as a young boy. So,
okay. So, you know, you're growing up, you've got this reselling journey with your family. You know, I guess, you know, once you graduated high school, you know, did you go to college? I mean, where did you kind of see, you know, your
what your future was going to be?
Originally, I wanted to be an attorney. I've always been really long-winded and I've been really argumentative. I was kind of pushed to go into that. And if you're from Oklahoma, especially Norman, Oklahoma, the University of Oklahoma is, you know, right there. And so, you know, you're kind of pressured to go to OU. But I didn't ever go to college, actually. I went to a trade school. I did massage therapy for probably about 3 or 4 years. And I just, you know, I loved it. It was very fun. But I just really took a knack to being able to thrift and hunt. And that was something that I wasn't doing back then. And mm-hmm. so I went straight into reselling. I was always reselling on the side. It just wasn't something I was doing full time. And this is right after, you know, high school, probably 2007, mm-hmm. 2008. Mm-hmm. And in 2009 is when I actually started, you know, Elliott's estate sales. And that was just on site liquidations for people that are either moving or downsizing. Perhaps, you know, someone has passed away and they're selling an entire home full of stuff. Mm-hmm. That is what my mama and papa kind of moved into in the early 90s versus having an antique mall, because in the early 80s, you know, the economy kind of went tank and mm-hmm. antiques started selling as well. And so instead of selling retail in an antique mall, they started moving into liquidations. So they would use their knowledge, you know, in value to sell on site for someone that has passed away, somebody's going out of business. And so that's kind of where I have started my business. And then as, you know, time has gone, online has become more and more popular. And so these are where I sell on, you know, eBay, Poshmark, Mercari, Facebook Marketplace, on site here in Oklahoma at someone's business and or their mm-hmm. home.
So talk to me about estate sales, because I think sometimes a misconception that people have about estate sales is that somebody has died, right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's when an estate sale company would come in and liquidate stuff. But as you kind of mentioned a couple of times, you know, people could just be downsizing or different stuff like that. You know, what is your customer base kind of look like? And actually, let me take that back a step. You know, how did it really get started for, you know, like, how do you start up an estate sale company? I know that you had the experience with your grandparents, but, you know, was Elliott's Estates, is Elliott's Estate Sales your company, or is this, you know, was it the company with your grandparents? You know, how does one start a estate sale company out and start gaining customers?
Well, I've made many, many journeys to get here, and many, many mistakes to get here, I should say. But this isn't my first business. You know, I also, you know, I had to do a massage. I was a massage therapist. I wasn't mm-hmm. just a massage therapist. I was a massage therapist that led a 3-location facility that did, you know, skincare and Botox and, you know, weight loss and stuff like that. It was, you know, much, mm-hmm. much larger and much grander than me just doing massage. Of course, I saw my own patients. But before that, there was a lawn mowing business. You know, before that, there was, you know, me, I had a local LGBT magazine here in Oklahoma City. I've done lots and lots of things. I have a, you know, an auction company here. We have an liquidation company here. I also am a real estate investor here in Oklahoma. So, you know, how you build an estate sale company, I would say, is, you know, in the very beginning, you know, you have to talk to a lot of people and tell people what you do for a living. It is mm-hmm. a very niche business, and niche business in the way that, you know, you have to know your numbers, just like you do when you go to, you know, Goodwill outlet bins or a thrift store to buy a blouse. You know, you don't buy just every blouse. Right. You want a blouse that, you know, you can resell after shipping and fees and make money. Right.
So is it competitive? I mean, in terms of, because it is such a niche, you know, are there a lot of companies competing for the same clients?
I will answer that in two parts. Yes, it's very competitive for high-end estate sales.
Okay.
Because just like, I mean, I explain this to a lot of people, every person that calls me, and I receive a lot of calls. You know, we have a pretty large following on Facebook here in Oklahoma as a local business. And people will call and they will say, you know, a couple different things. They'll ask me, you know, I have something and I would like to know the value of it. Can you come over and come take a look at it, please? And mm-hmm. so it's a very personal on-site business. Then you have folks that are downsizing, like what we've described. And it's two different ways for downsizing. You know, it's either downsizing small, and you have a very small home, like 1,200 square foot. I would just consider that a very small home. Mm-hmm. And you can only put so much stuff in a 1,200 square foot home and, you know, be able to have a successful sale. Whereas mm-hmm. if you have a very big home and you're selling your cars and your guns and your gold, you know, that is an illiquidation. That's an entire estate sale. Mm-hmm. Most people that are downsizing, they're taking the stuff that they want, not the stuff that is fabulous generally. They're leaving you, you know, basically their leftovers. And somebody's leftovers could be amazing, or it could be something you need to just donate to Goodwill.
So, you know, when you're working with clients who are downsizing, you know, a lot of times, you know, resellers know that most people are kind of out of touch with what, you know, retail versus resale, right? And especially, yeah, when you're going into somebody's home and pricing items, how difficult is it to maneuver that, you know, in terms of getting people to part with items and or maybe become more realistic with the value of their items?
You know, there's a lot of heartbreaking conversations that happen on the phone and in person. You know, and I explain this in several different ways to not be as offensive. And mm-hmm. no matter how you say it, you're the bad guy. And I've just told myself, you know, people are coming to you and you're asking their honest opinion. And so, you know, I have a reputation of being very honest, sometimes too honest. Mm-hmm. But how I align with my customers is when they call me, most of the time, they already have their hands in their hair and they're already ready to give up, because mm-hmm. sometimes they're already in the middle of pricing what they think is a garage sale. Mm. Sometimes they think that they are, you know, sitting on a bunch of junk mm-hmm. and they've got, you know, gold mine. Right. Sometimes they are sitting in a house full of stuff that needs to be donated, just simply donated because it comes from an era that is just not simply desirable at this time. Mm-hmm. So aligning with my customers as far as, you know, pricing their stuff, you know, it is in a very heavily contracted business. My contract is 4 pages long. It is very, very concise. And the expectations of my sellers and my expectations of a liquidator as defined in my contract are outlined. And so, you know, each person knows their role in the contract. And so that's kind of how I align with my customers. And at this point, you trust me. You know, I've got tons and tons of content on my Facebook page and YouTube of how I run my business and how I will lead you successfully down that path, whether it's to buy like your whole house full of stuff or just, you know, to liquidate your downsize.
Mm-hmm. So can you walk me through, you know, what it looks like to set up an estate sale at somebody's house? Like what's your process for getting, you know, a contract and sale going?
Just this morning, somebody called me. They said, "Hey, Justin, I saw you on Facebook and I saw you had a liquidation service." And I said, "Yes." And they told me that they had a whole house. Both of their parents, unfortunately, had just passed away about 3 or 4 months ago. And, you know, each person has a story. And that's kind of what I'm looking for, is a reason to get involved. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I like my life to be very stressless. that's why I'm self-employed. And I want to be able to get up in the morning and say, you know, I want to go thrifting, or I want to do this today, or I want to do that. Mm-hmm. Because my business is just not, you know, reselling for someone else. My business is buying stuff and reselling for myself. So if I'm mm-hmm. going to get myself involved with your liquidation, you know, selling a bunch of stuff within a dwelling that I didn't pick, and I'm going to have to resell to an audience, I have to have a story. Mm-hmm. I have to have a reason to help you. I can't help everybody. There's about 3.5 million people in Oklahoma and 40 liquidators in Oklahoma.
Wow.
And I would say about 3 of 10 people that call me qualify for my services, because there's a minimum. We haven't talked about fees yet. But yeah, this lady called me this morning. She says she needed my help. I immediately text message and say, hey, look, we need to make an appointment because I can't talk specifics until I see what's there. Mm-hmm. And so I have to make an appointment with you, hear your story, see the stuff. And then we talk about rates. I'll talk about timeframes, expectations. My expectations are that you are to get everything you'd like to keep out of the home.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to sell something I'd want to keep. And even right. still, you know, while you're going through their home, you know, I look for photos and personal, you know, identification stuff. And I'm a sentimental person. So it's if I see something that I think that the family should keep, you know, I have it in my contract that I will put it in a place and ask the family to come and get it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you kind of touched on fees. So what do, I mean, you don't have to tell me exactly.
Oh no, I'll tell you. I don't care.
Okay.
It's no secret. Okay. Anyway, it's kind of an average for most people anywhere you live in the world.
Mm-hmm. So what does that fee structure look like?
it really ranges. Most people, and you know, and I try to be as honest as possible. You know, I don't quote anybody a price, you know, whether you're in my store and you're buying something from me and I justify a price, or whether you're, you know, buying something from me on Poshmark and you make me an offer. I'm on a counter mm-hmm. offer and I might message you and say, look, hey, I'd love to make you this offer, but I just can't because it's going to cost me money. Same mm-hmm. thing with an estate sale. You know, if I walk into your place and I say, look, you know, and, or business, because, you know, mm-hmm. we do business liquidations as well. In 2020, I liquidated a historical church. It was a 102-year-old church in Kingfisher, wow. Oklahoma. Yeah. The call was very heavy hearted. And I was so, I mean, I'm even, you know, I was even honored. I'm getting shook up just even talking about it. I was so mm-hmm. honored to do it. Mm-hmm. It was a 20,000 square foot church, five stories wow. tall.
Wow.
And they were going to demolish the church because they've already built another one. The church wow. cost so much money to maintain. And mm-hmm. so it was a numbers thing, you know, yeah. just like in a church, you know, a religious establishment, you still have bills. And so right. same thing with an estate sale. So if I come to you and I say, look, you know, you have to only $10,000 worth of stuff here. And I had a minimum fee of $4,500 mm-hmm. or 60%, whichever is more.
Yeah.
And these are the fees that come with just holding a sale. You know, you've got labor, you have to have advertising. We have mm-hmm. insurance for an on-site sale that comes with each sale. So there are expenses that happen just like you were doing a garage sale, you mm-hmm. know, just like you're going to go thrift. You've got all that gas and time and effort right. before you start making money. Right. So just about $4,500 or 60% of each estate sale, sometimes less, sometimes more. I try to be as fair as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that seems fair. So, you know, our estate sales always happening in, like, you know, for instance, if somebody's downsizing, it does it always happen in their home, or, you know, are you doing the sale online, or does it ever go offsite to another location?
I love this question. Thank you so much for asking this question. Okay, so this is kind of where I get into more of the online selling, and you've got Poshmark, Mercari, eBay. Mm-hmm. And during COVID, I will talk to you about this too. During COVID, in the very beginning, I was freaking out because, you know, we were limited in Oklahoma to how many people we could have on site in an on-site liquidation, whether yeah. it be in a home or a business. And so I started freaking out. So what did I do? I created a website, and the website was called okcbids.com, and it still is in existence. But right now it's not active. Because Oklahoma is open, we're able to sell on site. But I created an entire website literally that you could sell on because I was so worried that we weren't going to be able to have a platform to sell locally. Mm-hmm. But as far as, I'm sorry, I forgot what the question was.
just talking about, you know, different ways that an estate sale can be held. I mean, typically are your yes. customers doing it from the home or, yeah. I mean,
there
that was
are
a really
many
interesting
options. I can offer different options. And okay. this is kind of where it gets a little complicated because there are many different options. I can do what is called for us in my company, a Facebook Live auction. And that is for local people that live here in Oklahoma. There are plenty of people that follow me outside of the state of Oklahoma, which is an on-site auction. And so it literally would be me previewing you. I would give a YouTube or maybe a Facebook Live video mm-hmm. of what's to be sold before it's to be sold. It could be an entire household full of stuff. It could be 100 items at one time. Mm-hmm. And I liquidated on Facebook. We bill you and invoice you by email after something has sold. We'll do it in lots. You can mm-hmm. also do an on-site sale within a home. Everything is priced. You show up, you order, you come in an orderly manner. Or we could take the things from the location where it's being held and move it mm-hmm. off-site and sell in a retail venue. Of course, this is all, you know, very expensive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're liquidating, you know, a mansion, you know, and it's, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of stuff, what's $5,000 to get prepared to sell the stuff?
Right.
So it's all relative to the sale.
Yeah, that's true. You know, do you ever have to deal with, you know, issues of theft, you know, when people are coming into somebody else's home? I'm sure that's where maybe your insurance plays in.
The insurance is more for the liability of someone coming in and actually falling.
Okay,
Maybe a selling, you know, hurting themselves. It could all happen.
Right.
You know, we're going into a home where people have never been. There's multi-surfaces. You know, you've got sunken living rooms in some of these 60s houses. Mm-hmm. You know, little bitty steps that maybe somebody's added, you know, that nobody saw. It can happen.
Right.
But as far as theft, generally, if it's going to be a high-end sale, and this is all relative, again, if it's a $5,000 sale, I'm probably going to pass. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, look, if I threw this sale, I'm going to take 60% of it. And we're going to have to pay this for the amount for us to be able to even have the sale because there's expenses. Mm-hmm. What if I offered you $1,000? I'll pack it all up, get this all out of here in 7 days. And then I would own that stuff and then sell that either online or in my store. Or what we can do is, I forgot where I'm going with this again. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Just keep going.
Or we could sell it in our store. But if it's more than 5,000, what we'll do is, you know, I'll say, look, we could try to sell it on site. Or if it's 10,000 or above, it would qualify for an estate sale. Say, you know, I'm selling a vehicle. We're in Oklahoma. So, you know, there are lots of people that have gun collections, lots mm-hmm. of people that have tractors. You know, we liquidate rural type farm homes mm-hmm. and residences. So maybe you perhaps got, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars in just farming equipment. So if you meet those kind of qualifications, you know, we could do all kinds of things for you as far as advertisement. And it's insane. I'd love to have you out here to come.
I know. I want to come see. I love estate sales. So I'm just like, I feel like I could learn so much from you. Okay. You touched on a little bit, you know, you just mentioned your showroom. So talk to me about your showroom. I mean, this is a brick and mortar store. I mean, are you open 7 days a week? I mean, how does this work for you with, you know, with all that you're doing?
Okay. Let me correctly identify, because I even have a list, because it is disorganized or it's unorganized or it's pretty complicated, I guess I should say. Let me correctly identify the places that I have outlined on my list here. I do on-site liquidations, okay, in personal homes and in businesses. Mm-hmm. I have a warehouse where I hold items that I have purchased mm-hmm. to sell online on Poshmark, Mercari, eBay, Facebook Marketplace, maybe my website, maybe Instagram, mm-hmm. et cetera. And then I have a showroom. The showroom is where I would move items to sell on my Facebook Live auction platform or Instagram Live, perhaps.
Okay.
And it is set up with, you know, shelves and tables. This is not a brick and mortar. But I giggle because I'm very, very frugal and thrifty. And so I'll explain to you why and how I've done this. Okay. The store is at a flea market and it's two separate stores. And, you know, most people would just look at them as, oh, those are just sheds. No, when I open those doors, it's like, oh, this is a store. That's what people say when they come in. So it's kind of flattering. And then of course I have my home office, and the home office is where I'm speaking to you now. It's where it all happens.
Okay, so the showroom is at the flea market. Am I getting that correct?
The showroom is at a storage facility in a heated and cooled unit.
It's its own unit. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. In a heated and cooled unit in a storage facility in another location.
Oh, we love a heated unit. Okay. And then, but additionally, you have a space at
it's a warehouse. Well, that's the store. Yes.
Okay.
And that's a two dwelling. It's two large 10 by 20. One's a 10 by 20 and one is a 14 by 16 building that's set right beside each other.
Okay. So with the flea market, are you having to operate that or does it operate like, you know, like how an antique booth works? Which,
it is an outdoor flea market that I can access 24 hours a day that has electric and it has heat and air conditioning because it has electric. Mm-hmm. I can run it myself or I can have someone else that works for me run it. Generally, mm-hmm. The flea market is only open Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. But I can be open any day of the week that I'd like. So I can invite my customers with my merchandise to the flea market. And I'm in a location where my store has its own private parking lot. So literally I can throw a sale Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And all of my estate sale shoppers and customers will come to my store to maybe shop a buyout that I've done in a home that didn't qualify for an estate sale.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And how are you deciding, you know, since you do sell online and, you know, you also have the flea market, how are you deciding, you know, what you want to put online and what you want to sell in person?
You know, it really kind of depends on the item. And I say that because, you know, I feel like some people, you know, like, you know, I think that you, you know, you're kind of getting out of shoes. You know, me, I love selling shoes. And I love selling shoes, you know, because I like to take pictures and I love shoes. Mm-hmm. I sell things because I'm passionate about it and I'm passionate about a lot of things. So if you come to my store, I'll have lots of different things. I'll have higher end things, things that are for a dollar, whereas you've got, you know, some kind of rare coin necklace that's, you know, $700-$800. You know, same thing with online, you know, online for me, if I can make $15 to $20 on it, I will stick mm-hmm. it online. And I like to sell clothing online, but I like to sell it in my store. So for me, I just kind of, you know, pick that item and see where I want it to go and where I think it would do best. And that's where I put it.
So, you know, in thinking about you just mentioned clothing and selling shoes and stuff, you know, when you are coming across clothing at estate sales, do you find that it's more modern or do you find a lot of vintage?
It is so mixed. Okay. You will find, or at least for me, in my opinion, that when someone calls me for an estate sale, the first couple of questions I say is, first of all, how large is your home? Mm-hmm. What part of town it is in? And that is because I've lived in Oklahoma for so long and I've done this for so long. This will be my 12th year in the business mm-hmm. of doing on-site liquidations. 14 years of, you know, reselling just in general for personal right. profit. I forgot what I was going to say. We were talking about estate liquidation.
Modern and vintage clothing. And you were mentioning
all of the above. I'm sorry. Okay. So when someone calls, I will normally say, look, you know, are we talking like Home Alone kind of decor, Brady Bunch kind of decor, Golden Girls, you know, decor. And you'll find, especially for me, and again, this is all for experience, just in Oklahoma, I've never liquidated in another estate before,
uh-huh.
but you've got different parts of town that have peaked at different times and eras, and mm-hmm. a house that was built in the 60s that's been owned by the original person, a lot of times you're going to find a closet full of 60s clothes, and, you know, maybe, you know, the lady that lived there was a size 6 for, you know, 30 years, and then, mm-hmm. you know, the 6 became an 8, and then a 14, and then, you know, you're into the 1 to 2 X's, you know, mm-hmm. you lived a healthy life, okay? So, but they can be from different eras all the time, and men's and women's and children's.
Got it. Okay. I just get excited by like vintage clothing.
Me too.
I think it's so fun. Is there, you know, in thinking about estate sales, you know, when you go into somebody's home or you're just out picking it, I guess, in general, you know, what excites you to sell? Is there something that you're, you know, when you see this, you're like, oh man, this is what
there are plenty things that I go, oh my gosh, this is so cute. But, you know, for me, I really like to just curate items. I want to collect as many cute items as I want to touch as many cute items as I can and rehome them, find them for someone that actually will actually you know, enjoy those items. And if I could pay my bills on the way, you know, that is, you know, the best thing in the whole wide world. But as far as, you know, doing estate sales, for me, it's all about helping the seller. If I can find a seller that legitimately is going to appreciate my service, know how much hard work it is, and how hard I work to set myself aside from the other liquidators here in Oklahoma. Like I said, there's about 40 of us. And most of them are twice my age. I'm 34. And so, you know, there's been, you know, a couple of other estate liquidators that have, you know, came into Oklahoma that are a little bit younger than me, but most of us are about 34 to 65. And so you know, I really do try to set myself aside with Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and all that, trying to, you know, set myself aside from the other people that may not be as tech savvy.
Gotcha. Okay. I just have to ask one more question in terms of like items that you might see inside somebody's home. You know, as a reseller yourself, reseller, I know that we appreciate certain things and collectibles. You know, are there ever items that you just keep for yourself? Like, do you have like a tchotchke cabinet in your home, or, you know, just, I don't know, things that you're like, I just can't part with this. Like, yeah, I want this for me.
Not really, honestly. And I would hate to disappoint anybody that might hear this. you know, I really look at things, and, you know, over time I've, you know, learned, you know, as a child, I was very, very materialistic, and I was, you know, there were things that I just absolutely had and I threw a fit. And, you know, but you learn over time, and I see it a lot, that, you know, things are just things, and, you know, you never really own anything because you can't take it with you. And so what I do have, you know, what really intrigues me is 60s jewelry, 60s men's jewelry. That is something that I will pay up for. For me, I'm very, very frugal. You know, most of the things I have are secondhand. You know, and there'll be a lot of people that look at my things and go, ooh, oh my goodness, he must be very bougie. You know, he probably overpaid for that. Not for a minute. You know, I don't buy something unless I can resell it for more than I paid for it generally. And that goes for anything that I buy, anything that I buy. But that being said, I really am in the business to resell. And so for me, you know, even if I do find something that's fabulous, I'll keep it for a minute, then I'll just sell it.
Well, I think that's the perk of being a reseller, right? We get something, whether you buy it used or new, you're like, well, I'm going to enjoy this for a period of time. And then when I'm done with it, I'm going to flip it.
Yeah.
And maybe get just as much money as when I paid for it. So yeah, it's like you never really owned it, just like you said. Okay. You know, gosh, I just have so many questions about your business model. It's like so fascinating to me.
You go right ahead. I'm free for as long as you like. You go right ahead.
Well, you know, I'm just curious, you know, you mentioned like the tech side of it, and, you know, you've got your Facebook, your YouTube, your Instagram, and then your online presence, and obviously so many different ways. You know, how do you feel like Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram has added to the success of your business?
That's a very, very good question. I would say it's definitely set me aside from my competitors in the way that there's only one person in my local area that has the amount of following that I have. It's just over, I want to say almost 17,000. That's not just likes, that's followers. So when I hit Facebook Live, 17,000 people get a lagged, you know, maybe 35 second notification on their phone that Mr. Elliot is live. And I'm selling something, maybe I'm talking to them. You know, I can never fit 17,000 people in my Poshmark store, my warehouse, you know, someone's home. You know, they're a fire code, you know, not that I wouldn't try. but there are fire code laws. And so even before COVID, you know, people thought that, you know, oh, they're limiting, you know, we always have to limit. That's why there's always a line. It's because generally, you only can let, you know, 30, 40 people in at one home, unless it's 8,000 square foot, then you still want to limit, again, security. And to answer that question, I don't know if I answered that or not. We normally will have a local police officer in that municipality that actually works for us.
Okay. Gotcha. So, yeah. And in terms of staffing, you know, what does your staff look like for?
I have an amazing staff. my staff is everything. My staff is Elliot's estate sales. So, my staff are all like family. They've all been with me for, I think the one that it's the newest one has been here for 6 years. The longest one has been since I started Elliott's Estate Sales, at least 13 years.
Wow.
They all have full jobs themselves, full-time jobs. They do not work for me full-time. So what they do for me is part-time work. It would be contract work, maybe either before or after work. Mm-hmm. And I have currently 12 of them.
Wow. That's a lot of people. But that's awesome that you've had people with you for so long. I mean, yeah, you said your newest employee was like 6 years. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Not a high turnover, it sounds like. That's really great.
I love them.
Yeah. You know, again, kind of going back to, you know, customer base, I'm curious, you know, do you have maybe a VIP list? Do you do like first looks for anybody? Reach out to people beforehand
throughout the years. Now with liquidation, I wanted to clarify something too. You know, all the time I go into someone's home, you know, you said, do you ever, you know, just go into someone's home and you just love everything? Or do you just keep something yourself? For me, I try to define myself again. This is an unregulated business, being an estate liquidator in Oklahoma, going into someone's home or business and liquidating their things. So mm-hmm. honesty for me is first and foremost. And my integrity is everything that I have. And so for me, I normally don't buy something unless it's before the sale and I've disclosed that with the seller and we put it in a contract just in mm-hmm. case there's any issues. But that's partly the reason why when I go into a liquidation, unless I'm buying it all out, I don't really buy anything because I would hate to make someone think that I took something from someone else or mm-hmm. maybe was dishonest.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that. As far as customer base, you asked me as VIP stuff. I always keep my customer base guessing, all of them. My mm-hmm. customer base, most of them are going to be 35 to 65, mostly female. Mm-hmm. I would say probably a 70-30 split female.
Okay.
And they're going to get their husbands to come, but they'll tag along to an online estate sale mm-hmm. or an on-site estate sale. Because most times they're going to buy something that's really big. You know, there's going to be furniture in a home. And we don't lift, load, or carry as an estate sale company. Now, if I'm going to buy it out, I will do a lot of the move myself to save on labor. Mm-hmm. So unless there's man stuff there, you know, like guns and cars and tools, you're going to get mostly people that are coming in that are female. And a lot of them are going to be resellers. A lot of my customers are resellers.
Something
to consider.
Yeah, that was my next question is like, what percentage of your customer base do you think is resellers?
A lot of them are resellers. And some of them are very graceful resellers. And some of them I butt heads with because they, you know, they think that, you know, they're entitled, unfortunately. Some of mm-hmm. them are, they get very entitled coming into people's estate sales because most people in Oklahoma, in a good weekend, you could have anywhere between 1 and 40 estate sales. Mm-hmm. And I could be leading 1 or 4 of those. I'm set up to lead 4 estate sales in 1 weekend with my staff.
Wow.
So if you go to one, you're probably going to another, and then you're going to another, then you're going to another, and you lose that culture. For me, my business is kind of built on culture and, you know, them falling in love with reselling. And maybe that's how I get them started into my business is them mm-hmm. watching me a reselling video. And then they get hooked on me buying something cool. And then they start following me and then they start learning how to resell themselves. I mean, ultimately, that's what I really kind of wanted them to do locally here is because mm-hmm. as long as they're buying from my estate sales, my online liquidations can continue.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not sure if that answered your question or not, though.
Yeah, no, it did. And you know, I'm curious also, you know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you do liquidations for businesses as well. And I'm curious, you know, did that like increase in 2020 just because of the pandemic and businesses closing or
lots of things in my business have increased because of COVID. Mm-hmm. I will say number one is going to be going and buying into someone's house and selling everything because there's been a lot of people that have sat on an estate that someone has passed away and they couldn't sell it because of the mm-hmm. stuff in it. And they mm-hmm. didn't want to have an estate sale because they didn't want to have an estate sale during COVID. And so they've just waited to sell their house. Yeah. Other thing I would say is there's going to be a lot of people that have been calling me that they're behind with their mortgage and they want me to buy their home, because I do buy houses and flip them. So doing that, I'm helping the homeowner that's stuck with a house full of stuff they may not need by just buying their house. And literally they solve all of their problems at once, because most people that are doing an estate sale, they're probably selling their house too. And as far as, you know, Goodwill finds, I feel as though there's so many people that are holding a garage sale right now, that there's an influx of clothing and anything on Goodwill, Facebook Marketplace, and people are holding garage sales. So people are getting an amazing deal. Same thing goes with estate sales. There are so many estate sales being thrown right now that the prices are being driven down so much, because there's just an overinflux of houses, or underinflux of real estate in Oklahoma, I guess, but an overinflux of personal property.
Gotcha. And I'm curious, do you have partnerships that you've created with like thrift stores or Goodwills through the years in terms of getting merchandise to them, or?
Over the years, yes. I've definitely helped some pet foundations. We used to donate to a church, but that church is at this time not accepting some of the things that are left over after an estate sale. Let's see. I definitely donate heavily to Goodwill. But I absorb a lot of the things that are left over after an estate sale, because there is a lot of things that are left over after an estate sale. And ideally for my clients, if they're having an estate sale or an on-site liquidation of some kind, it is to sell either the real estate or for someone to remodel the real estate. So really this stuff is standing in the way of the real estate of some way or another. So they just want it out. And so I will donate a little bit of portion, but a lot of it we will just sell ourselves.
Got it. And I'm just curious, you know, at the end of the estate sale, right, there are some items that are left over, like we just spoke about. You know, is the seller like, just take it all, or do you have to buy
In our contract, again, everything is very, very heavily contracted. If I'm going to buy your storage unit, you're going to sign a one-page contract. If I'm going to liquidate your, you know, couple million dollar business, it's going to be an 18-page contract that we review with both of our lawyers. So there is, my business is to be as clear as possible to you in all aspects, whether I'm reselling you at Amois and you're simply selling, you know, saw it on Facebook, or we're doing business together and I'm liquidating your home. I feel like it's very much my responsibility as a liquidator, again, in a very undefined business. I call it the Wild West of liquidation, because you're on your own. In Oklahoma, I'm not identified as anybody except for a reseller. So, but yeah, that I think that answered the question.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I'm all over the place with my questions because things just keep popping into my head.
No, and that's wonderful. I just hope I'm answering them.
Indulge me. No. You're doing awesome. I'm wondering, you know, do you ever have issues with the homeowner wanting to stay in the home during a sale? Does that positively or negatively affect an estate sale?
I can answer that question very concisely for you. It is outlined in the third part of my contract, which is seller must vacate all the premises. Now, it does say after that that you know, special accommodations can be given to someone that has either a guest house or their home is so large that they're not going to be in our way. There are instances where that happens. You know, with an estate sale, again, because it's commission basis and minimum basis, and ideally, you know, liquidating a home that's average with average stuff is going to have average prices. It's just not an estate sale. It's just stuff within a home. An estate sale is a grand situation. And most of the time they need to be taking place in a home that you and I would look at each other and we'd be like, ooh, oh my goodness, they must make really, really good money. And then we also need to look in their home and see their pictures. And it needs to look so inviting that we're not even going to consider going to another garage sale or even looking at Amazon for what we need. We have to be resellers, or we have to be someone that just wants that dining room set because you can't get it anywhere else. That ideally is an estate sale. So anything else is just a garage sale or stuff within a home. And I don't mean that to be offensive. It's just the reality in today's world.
No, I get what you're saying. I think, yeah, there's kind of different levels of it for sure. Yeah. And you can definitely identify when something is an estate. But yeah, it sounds like, I mean, you know, you've been in business doing this, like you said, for 12, 13 years?
A couple years.
Just a couple years. And it sounds like things have become really defined in your business with, you know, the contracts and everything. You've kind of gotten it ironed out, which is really great.
A lot of mistakes to get here, though. A lot of mistakes. Yeah. It was not easy. So I don't want anybody to think that that was the case. I have been to court on some contracts where, you know, a judge makes a decision in the way that he thinks is reasonable, you know, because we're just litigants at this point. And, you know, like I said in the very beginning, you know, people have drama. And you will get into people's drama when you start working in their home. And this is part of the reason why you need to vacate is, you know, I could be listening to conversations that I don't need to hear.
Right.
And, you know, I could find stuff that I don't need to find. And you're going to be there. And maybe, you know, instead of me sticking it in a place where we've talked about in our contract, you find that and then you're embarrassed. And, you know, it just creates an awkward situation, you know?
Yeah.
So clearly identifying each person's roles, because we're business partners as soon as that contract is signed.
Yeah. I mean, kind of on that note, you say like finding things that you don't want to find. I mean, have you ever been in somebody's home and saying what you can say, obviously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever found anything like illegal?
Yes, I have. I have a, and I hope it's okay to say this, but I have a series that is on YouTube that's called Bizarre Stories of a Liquidator. And there's about 20 of them, I want to say. And, I try to be as forward as possible without being disrespectful. Now, those that are, you know, easily offended, you know, you maybe not want to watch because it is unedited and it is given from a perspective of a personal blog from someone that is in my situation and how I dealt with that situation. So it's a personal opinion. And so with that way that I can, you know, not step on as many toes and I can still give my point of view, because I feel like it's very important for all of us resellers, whether you're a liquidator, whether you, you know, personal, you know, self-employed, everybody has a story. And if somebody can hear something and I can help them, that's why I'm here today. So as far as finding illegal things, yes, I have definitely found illegal things. I have had altercations personally with people that have put their hands on me at an estate sale that did not respect my position as a liquidator in someone else's home on private property. You know, you're dealing with the general public and, you know, anybody can walk through that door. And so they can be inebriated. They can be, you know, someone that is just simply walking by and come into that home.
Yeah, you can definitely run into some sketchy situations, I'm sure. You also mentioned you know, you've had instances where maybe you've been taken to court or, you know, whatever, just challenges that can come up in business when you're running a business, especially for as long as you have been. I'm curious, you know, like what, for some people, I think they would be scared off by hearing that, that you know, they could be taken to court. I guess, you know, what continues to drive you? You know, why are you not scared off, I guess?
You know, I have a really good contract. And unfortunately, you know, we all have contracts. Life is nothing but an entire contract. I don't know about you, but when I was born, I have a birth certificate and I have an obligation at 18 to claim taxes. That's a contract, in my opinion. You know, when you go to Walmart and you purchase something, you know, you receive a receipt. That's your contract with that establishment on your returns. You know, that's how you're operating. Everything operates on a contract. And so for me, you know, if I mess up and I do something wrong, then I'm going to do everything that I could possibly do to make that, you know, satisfiable to my seller. However, most of the contract, let's say the rules that have been broken in the agreement, are done by the sellers, and they're done more by ignorance, and it's willful ignorance. Generally, I don't have someone that ever goes in a contract with me, and they don't know everything, because I explain the contract to you before I even let you sign it. I don't send a blind contract, ever. And I've brought in, depending on the jobs, I have brought in literally two lawyers to explain a contract to a seller. Whether it be for their house and or, you know, their personal property, because sometimes they're liquidating millions of dollars of stuff. And so I want to make sure that you've contracted a lawyer. I've contracted a lawyer. Let's walk through this process together, because, you know, I don't know everything. So I want to know that I'm being fair as well as to them. So that's why I enter into a contract. And honestly, I mean, the reason why I do this and the reason why I liquidate is because I just like to help people. And I like the discovery of finding stuff in people's houses, even if I'm just going to resell it.
Right. Yeah. No, I that definitely resonates with me. I just, the enjoyment of doing this work.
It's a lot of work. I mean, it is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And there will be I will say, you know, my business has changed also within the last 3 or 4 years. I 3 or 4 years ago, I had someone that was literally 100% all of my media. They ran my Facebook for me. They ran my YouTube for me. They ran my Instagram, my Twitter, everything, the whole bucket. And that is a full-time job on its own. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't as deeply into it because, you know, I was out here just doing my liquidator thing, you know, buying and selling houses and, you know, buying and selling this, that, and the other. Well, that person, you know, got a job. They got a much better paying job because they did such a great job. And they got noticed. Well, I had to learn everything that they did. My website is, you know, pretty complicated to run because it's ever changing. It's not just like a one-time set it and, you know, you can change it next year. Every right. single weekend, you're adding new pictures, new locations, and then you've got Facebook, Instagram. You're doing reels now, you know, stories. And right. you know, that didn't exist back then. Well, now right. I'm doing all of that on top of everything that I do. So as far as I get it done, 6 a.m. to about midnight at night.
Well, that's what I was curious. I was like, how do you get it done? Please enlighten
that's
me,
how.
Justin, because I need
and
advice.
Lots of scheduling. Yeah, lots okay. and lots of scheduling.
Well, okay. That kind of leads me into my next question that I wanted to ask yeah. you, which is kind of, you know, what are the challenges you face in your business? And certainly, you know, it kind of sounds like time is one of them, but you know, is that a big issue for you, or is there something else that sticks out in your mind?
On my notes, time management is the first thing. If there was only enough hours, and I'm reading directly from notes, if there was only enough hours to get everything done in one day, my friends call me Energizer Bunny, and that's because I never stop. I just keep going and going and going. You'll rarely see me sitting when I feel, and I'm sitting now and I feel lazy. Like, I like to stay active. I want to be on my feet. I want to be on the phone. I want to be talking to someone. I want to be negotiating. You know, I want to be digging through some, you know, junk. And every day is different and I have to create a new strategy for new circumstances for many, many people, including myself every single day and still be able to get everything done that I have on my plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, have you thought about, you know, in terms of like the social media part, have you thought about like outsourcing that again to somebody to kind of get a little more time back for yourself?
I have, but it's such a personal business, in my opinion. And I did have a shift of gears as well 3 years ago as well. When I did have someone else doing my marketing for me and all that, I had a logo, and I'll use this in reference. I hope I can convey it over the phone, but on your Facebook and on your Instagram and on your Twitter and on your Poshmark and on your eBay, you know, there's a little thumbnail that's round and it either mm-hmm. has your face or your logo in it. I feel like when you have someone else handle your media, you're putting that logo there. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot easier for someone to be upset with that logo mm-hmm. than it is for them to be angry at me personally, especially mm-hmm. when they know how hard as I work. Well, 3 years ago, I took that logo down and I'm putting my face there. And for me, it represents the fact that when you call, you're going to talk to me. And yeah. some people will disagree to that, I guess. I'm sure there'll be plenty. But at some point, you know, I might have to let that go. But right now, I just feel like that is how I deal with customers and callers and sellers and just people.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, I get wanting to be your brand. And that definitely, I feel like yeah. that makes sense. And like you said, it could change over time as you
and
grow,
no offense, obviously. I've done both.
Totally. Yeah, no, I was just gonna
with
say
the
because...
salon business, I could not answer my own phone. I couldn't. There was 3 locations. But there was a lot more technical difficulties too, and you know, angry customers. And so I was repairing a relationship versus creating a relationship. So I feel like filter if I answer the phone.
Well, and you know, your business name has your last name in it, which is,
I know,
I understand, like, well, just wanting to be, you know, that first point of contact for people when they call and giving them that personal service, because what you know, the estate sale, right, portion of the business that you run is so personal, and wanting to provide that connection to the people that you're working with, I could see how, you know, that would be really something that's really important to you, right? Making people feel comfortable with who they're working with. So that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I guess in terms of time management, I feel like as resellers, we're always looking for work-life balance. I mean, do you feel like you've achieved that, or how do you attempt to achieve that? I'm just curious, asking for a friend, that friend being me.
I love my work, and I'm very, very passionate about my work. I am fortunate that I am married and a partner to someone that also is very, very work and goal oriented and driven. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for us, we're driving a car down a highway and we're going about 30 instead of 80. Mm-hmm. And we have to work really hard so that we can enjoy life later. Mm-hmm. So I'm 34, he's 32, 33. Mm-hmm. He'll kill me. I hope this is not being, I'm sorry, there's someone calling me. I hope this is not interrupting.
Oh, no,
can
good.
You still hear me? Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
I, as far as work-life balance, I work so much. It is everything that I do. I do try to take some time off with some friends every now and again, but I get right back to work.
Mm-hmm. So does weekends off exist for you, or are you like 24/7?
You know, my store at the swap meet is primarily open Saturday and Sunday, and that's from 8 a.m. to noon. And so generally I'm going to be there, even sometimes if I have an estate sale. I mean, we could be throwing an estate sale or an on-site liquidation that is, you know, tens and twenties or thirties or forties or thousands of dollars. But I have a team that deals with that, a manager, you know, someone that knows what they're doing. They've worked there for so long that I don't have to be there. Gotcha. And if they need me, they can take a picture, they can, you know, they can call me. But, mm-hmm. In my opinion, I probably work 7 days a week. For me, a day off is taking a 4-hour nap and working the rest of the day.
I feel that.
Yeah.
That's why I'm laughing.
Naps are good.
Naps are great. I mean, it just like, it rejuvenates you again to keep working. Okay. Well, you know, we kind of touched on thinking about, you know, the future of your business, and maybe at some point somebody would take over, you know, different parts of marketing or advertising and stuff like that. But, you know, if you had to look in your crystal ball, you know, where do you see the future of your business going?
I see me, you know, just going in and buying someone's house and everything in it and liquidating everything that they have, probably online. I say that just because at this point in time in my business, and again, this is a crystal ball looking, I feel like things are appreciated right now that are liquidating in other parts of the United States and other parts of the world. And that's because I have experience selling online and have experience selling in certain zip codes within certain, you know, plots of land. You know, one dining room table at one part of the city could be several hundred dollars more than another zip code. Whereas this one table sold online could be worth a couple thousand, and someone could come and get it, or it could be shipped to them.
Right.
So for me, I feel like my business will go online. It will be more purchasing and creating convenience for the seller, as a one call sells it all kind of business, versus parting it all out. Whereas you liquidate online or liquidate on site, and then someone sells the house and then someone moves. So everyone is more of my customer, regardless whether you have an entire house or you want to sell, you know, a living room set.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Okay. My next question for you, it's a little bonus question for my Patreon group. I promise it's an easy question, but I'm wondering, you know, for somebody who's listening and thinking, I would love to start my own, you know, estate sale company. What advice would you give to them for starting on this journey or starting their own business?
First thing I would do is,
I I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more. But I've found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business: hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
I guess my last question for you, Justin, is,
yeah,
you know, what advice would you give yourself when you were first starting out?
Let me go to this note, kind of my notes on that one. You know, what I put on my notes was, you know, I started out really, really young, and I was, in my opinion, I was one of those kids that were a product of a very early divorce and a very early, parents, you know, parents that were very, very young. And so I had to grow up really, really quick. And I'm the oldest of the siblings. And so I put a lot and lots of stress and a lot of responsibility on my shoulders. And so I put on mine, keep your head down, work twice as hard as the other guys, but take a moment to relax. You know, money isn't everything, and you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Just smile. So that's what I put, you know, that would be the short story of short synopsis of, you know, I mean, I've had my ups and downs over my life. You know, again, like I said, I am a product of a divorced family and, created by two parents, you know, that were extraordinarily young. And that's the reason why my grandparents have such a strong, in my mind, a strong, you know, I would pay tribute to all my success to my grandparents.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
So, but yeah, that's the advice I would give is, you know, just take a minute to relax, take it all in and enjoy the fruits of your labor. Cause you're not going to be here forever.
Well, true. But then also work twice as hard.
Oh yeah. Twice as hard as the other guy for sure.
Yeah. I know. I think that that's great advice. And it, you know, you started it with, I think you said, keep your head down. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so smart. I mean, it's really just focus in on the work that needs to get done. Work twice as hard on the work that you're doing.
And right? I say, keep your head down. For me, keep your head down. I mean, yeah, keep your head down, work. Yeah. That's, you know, that to me, that's always been everything that I've ever done. But to me, keep your head down means be humble.
Yeah.
Because in my local situation, it's really hard not to get arrogant. And I think we're all like that. You know, once you start getting a little piece of success, and once you know, you're able to go out and buy a brand new car or, you know, a big old house, because I've done this as a very young person, you start buying all this stuff to try to make yourself feel good about all the hard work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And in the end, you know, you're just buying stupid things that are going to go down in value. Keep your head down and be humble, even though you're very successful, and focus on, you know, just the hard work.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that the success will follow that, right? And the reputation will follow that. And that's probably why you have such an amazing and thriving business right now, is because you've just kept your head down, you've worked, your reputation, you know, clearly stands on its own in your community, that people keep coming back to you or referring you to others in your community. So I think that is all really great advice, and hopefully somebody who's maybe just starting out on their journey takes that in, and
I would love that.
Yeah, exactly, applies it to their journey. But thank you so much, Justin, for
talking
with me today. Like I said, this could be like a 12-hour interview or just like a 12-part series in general, because I feel
we'd
like
have to take a lunch break.
I know, exactly. Yeah. There's just so much to your business, but all the more reason for me to just hit up your YouTube channel and just like binge all of your content. So
yeah, and we can have another interview maybe. It doesn't have to be the last.
Yes, that would be so fabulous. Yeah, we need like a follow-up, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I love that. Follow-up interviews. Yes.
Yes, okay. Ma'am.
Well, cool. We will put it on the calendar. Well, thank you so much, Justin. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I will talk with you soon, my friend.
The pleasure was all mine. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast. And there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. I love listening to podcasts while I work. Are you the same way? I feel like time is money, and as much as I would love to sit down and read a book, I'm constantly on the go and needing to multitask my time. If you're this way, maybe I have something that could save you a little bit of time in your life. This past year, I created a course on hiring a virtual assistant for your reseller business. I made this course exactly for resellers. It definitely could be used by somebody who's not a reseller, but I targeted it towards people who are specifically resellers on any platform, eBay, Poshmark, Mercari, doesn't matter where you resell. If you're looking to gain a little bit more time back in your life and grow your business in ways that you probably can't even imagine, check out my website, hiringava.com. I will put this information in the show notes for you, but check out my website and see the complete course content and see how it might work for you and bring value to you and your business. It's very low cost for the course, but also to hire a virtual assistant. And a lot of times people think that it's not the thing they need to grow in their business, but truly time is money. And if you can outsource some of the work that you're doing, especially things that somebody else could be doing for you, what else could you be doing with that time in your life? So check it out, hiringava.com. Talk with you guys soon. Bye.